O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. The beginning of a gospel can really set the tone for what's to follow. Matthew 1:1 begins, "This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." It's grand. It places Jesus inside of a huge sweep of human history. It's stoic and serious. Mark, by contrast, opens with the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It is decisive. It's to the point. It's wasting not a moment's time to get right to the action. That's Mark to a T. John, the Gospel of John, of course, opens with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's cosmic, it's mysterious, it's gorgeous. But what about the Gospel of Luke? What does the beginning of the Gospel of Luke sound like? Well, this is Luke 1:1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they have been handed down to us by those from whom they were first eyewitnesses and servants to the word, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too have decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. It is no, "In the beginning was the Word," that's for sure. Now, this verse, it is doing two things here, both of which are frankly pretty strange. One of them is it is acknowledging that there are already several written gospels, and so perhaps there is no reason to publish this at all. That's the first point that it's making. The second point is to give a shout out to someone named Theophilus. So what kind of opening is this? Why is this gospel being published in the first place? And who is Theophilus? We'll start with the easy one, Theophilus. There's a couple of explanations about this, who this Theophilus person is. One is that since the name Theophilus literally just means one who loves God, perhaps this is just a fancy way of saying that this book is given to all those who love God, as if the dedication page of an Agatha Christie novel said, "To all those who love a good mystery." It's perhaps just a literary device. The other explanation, this one is going to take me a little longer, just for a warning, the other explanation is that Theophilus was a real person, sort of like the formal recognition of that person is put here in the inscription, as if the opening credits of a movie would begin, "Produced by Jerry Bruckheimer," and then everything goes from there. The Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts, which were published together, that they were dedicated to Theophilus, perhaps because Theophilus was the financial patron who made it possible to publish the book in the first place. That's that second explanation, that Theophilus was a real person. Now understand, writing the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts, this would have been an expensive and time-consuming task, to put it mildly. First off, you have to understand that because this includes the Book of Acts as well, the original publication of Luke and Acts, this is long. It is very long. Taken together, Luke and Acts, they tell the story of the life of Jesus from before Jesus was ever born, through the entirety of his ministry, as well as narrating the early history of the birth of the church and the spread of Christianity throughout the known world. This is the two-volume deluxe edition of the Good News of Jesus, and it is written in high style. The author was possessed of elegant prose equal to the most stylish Greek of the time. The author is also clearly a scholar of some note. The way that the quotations in the Gospel and the Book of Acts work, the way the quotations work show that the author had managed to get their hands on several very authoritative versions of the Hebrew Bible. And In the same way, a number of the stories about Jesus, they show that they're written from copies of the most authentic, most authoritative early accounts of Jesus' ministry. This is scholarship done with the footnotes matching and everything. The writing of it would have been the work of years by a highly educated and professional writer. Then there would be the cost of years of work by copy editors, in which these copy editors needed to laboriously copy everything out by hand and then double check that everything was right by counting how many letters were in the entire book. And if it doesn't add up right, scrap it and start over again. This is a very challenging process, to put it mildly. It's hard to explain exactly what it would be like, the costliness of this, other than to say it would be similar in complexity and cost to writing, directing, producing, and distributing a summer blockbuster trilogy. It's a huge project. It would need people with deep pockets to bankroll it, especially because, unlike a summer blockbuster, these were not for sale. They were given away. So, if for no other reason than for how monumental and expensive a task it would have been to produce, Theophilus could well have been a real person. It could well have been whoever it was who financially bankrolled the writing of Luke and Acts, and this dedication to Theophilus is a way of immortalizing them for their generosity. So those are the two explanations of this Theophilus thing. Either it's a real financial patron, or this book is dedicated to all those who love God. But having explained what a headache it was to write and publish this gospel, perhaps this raises a more important question, which was, why was Luke and Acts written in the first place? It says it right in the dedication. There were already other gospels that had been written. The author quotes from them extensively, in fact. It's not as if this were a story that had never been told. Christianity was already an established religion. Heck, the second volume, the book of Acts, this is the story about how Christianity got to be such a big deal anyway. Christianity is already a whole thing. Why is this gospel being written at all? Why go to the enormous trouble and expense of writing another gospel of Jesus Christ? It seems somehow almost sacrilegious, the idea that somebody would sit down and write a brand new gospel. It seems kind of presumptuous that the world would need new good news. Isn't the old good news good enough? What do Luke and Acts bring to the world that the world needed? Well, I'll speak for myself anyway here. At Christmas, I need to be filled up with hope for something new coming into the world. I need the words of the angel saying, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." That is only in the Gospel of Luke. And I need that. When I'm struggling to make the world a better place bit by bit with my little powers that I'm able to perhaps amass here, looking at the enormous powers of the world, when I'm wondering what is any of this for, I need the story of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit acts and makes amazing things happen through the people of faith. That is only in the book of Acts. And I need that. When I see in the world women's leadership suppressed, women's rights degraded, I need Elizabeth and Mary. I need to hear their testimony about what God has done in their lives. I need Joanna and Susanna. I need all of the Marys and the countless women who from the beginning had always been among the leaders and the followers of Jesus. And where are their voices heard most clearly? Luke and Acts. I need them. The world needs them. That's why this was written. The world needs good news that can embrace those who had been seen as outsiders and see in them the truth that they are beloved children of God. The world needed good news that could be heard and understood, not only in the lands where Jesus lived, not only in the lands that he had been a part of, but in the far sides of the world, in places that Jesus never could have set foot, in places like Western Asia and Northern Italy and Spain and Ethiopia, on these shores. The world needed good news that would transcend race and class and gender and nationality and embrace the world under a new and radical love that could be seen in Almighty God born in a lowly manger. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace born to an ordinary woman, engaged to an ordinary man, prophecy that would pour out on every gender, on every nation. The world needs the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. But someone had to write it. That's Luke. And someone had to believe in it enough to make it a reality to publish it. It's our most excellent Theophilus. The example that the good news of Jesus Christ that must always be brought to life must always be brought to life in each generation, in each new day, speaking to the world as its needs today. To life among people who are living, addressing the needs and hopes of dreams of those who live and walk the earth, the good news must be told. It must be told to those who have heard the stories of Jesus before, but who heard a version of that story that was narrow and hurtful, that told them there was no place for them in it. They need to hear the good news, perhaps again. The world needs the gospel proclaimed, told to those whose gender identity makes them a target of the Caesars of today, who are worried about the amassing of names, the changing of passport markers, who are wondering about lists being gathered up. People who have crossed borders and who are perhaps afraid of any bit of paperwork. We need the story to be told to those who remember that when Caesar Augustus forced everyone to register, that bad news, that was the beginning of the good news of Jesus. The good news, today, it is yours to live out. Yours to write, yours to preach in the way that you live and work and walk through the world. The person who will take the good news of Jesus Christ and live it in the world, that is you. That's you who are beloved of God. That is you. That is you who would have the world know that God is love. That is you who by your life show that you are one who loves God. Who by your life shows that you are one who loves God. The gospel is to be lived by you, you who love God, you, most excellent Theophilus. Thanks be to God.